Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
All right, so I want to start at the college level with Brian Kelly, the head coach at LSU in Baton Rouge.
Uh-huh.
Go Tigers. LSU football, really, really good right now. They got a chance, my guy, to climb to the top of the rankings here. They are now ranked third coming off of a win over Florida. So they started their season by beating Clemson 17-10 in what we thought was a test. Looks less so now.
Well, less.
Then they played Louisiana Tech. It was 23-7. They played Florida unranked this past week, won 20-10. They have not been great on offense. They're not moving the ball, scoring the points people
which
expected.
Which is so weird, by the way, because it's usually they'll score 60 and give up 65.
They're better defensively, and their offense has kind of regressed some with Garrett Nussmeier, quarterback, who's a pro prospect and a legit QB. I bring up LSU, and I start the audio vault with Brian Kelly, because this is a bit of a theme today. You're going to hear from him and Dabo. These college coaches that make all this money and kind of run their programs and their image and pick and choose who's at press conferences and stuff, they get away with a lot at the mic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just cannot be questioned. They can't even deal with the idea that someone wants to know what's going on with the program. Listen to Brian Kelly after they beat Florida 20-10 last weekend.
Brian in the back, I know you love these immediate post-game sessions, but what are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20-10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game. We played the game to win the game.
All right. How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
It's one game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game. Won the game. I don't know what you want from me. What do you want? You want us to win 70-0 against Florida to keep you happy?
No, I think people want to know why you can't run the ball, quite honestly.
We can run the ball. Did you see the last play of the game? That's all you need. You just need one. There's a ridiculous questions. And I'm getting tired of it. That football team just worked their tail off to get an SEC win, and you want to know what's wrong. You know what? You're spoiled. You're spoiled. This team is 17-1 at night. 17-1. Give them some respect. How about that? Give them some respect instead of micro-analyzing every little thing. This is ridiculous. For a group of seasoned reporters, that kind of question is so out of line.
So he went too far, especially there at the end when he's like lecturing the entire room. There's some of that sentiment that I don't hate. So you get some Herm Edwards in there, by the way.
Yes.
Where he's like,
what a sprinkling.
You play to win the game. He's like,
hello.
That was full. He didn't go full Herm Edwards. He went three quarters Herm Edwards,
yeah.
Right? But I'll also acknowledge that should not have been the first question of the press conference. That's probably true. When you're in a media corps, not to say you're working together, but like there's a touch and feel session here where you're going like, all right, why don't you talk about the win? Why don't you talk about Garrett's performance? You know, whatever it is, and you kind of feel it out, and then you go, okay, they won 20-10. It's time to ask him. Hey, congrats on being 3-0. You don't even need to say that. You could just be a bulldog and be like, hey, Brian, I know you guys won, but the offense is still not great. If that was the seventh question, does he get as angry? Probably not. So there's something there. But this guy, man, he is just a lot, isn't he? He is a bulldog, and he's so upset. You're spoiled, he said. He called the questions ridiculous. I just thought that audio was incredible.
He said they're out of line. It's not.
Out of line is completely incorrect and probably an irresponsible phrase.
Well, by the way, so I think you did a good point laying it out. The first question, as negative sounding as it could possibly be, by the way, after an SEC win.
But these coaches, they feel like in these rooms, you're supposed to be rooting for us.
This is where I'm going.
That's the problem at the college level.
Go back to Urban Meyer bullying people out of the room at Florida or whatever else. Because these guys are both, now this is the old way, but they were both head coach, sort of senior mentor, GM deciding who gets scholarships and this, that, and the other. I know the world's changed with NIL and stuff, but they have God complexes because they don't report to anybody other than the AD who they make 10 times as much as.
Right.
Right. And if you fire them, they are on Easy Street with tens of millions of dollars to put their feet up and drink pina coladas. They cannot believe in these like tier three mid-sized towns that everybody isn't sitting there going, well, I'm so impressed y'all won today. What's that feel like? What was the post-game spread like? What'd you say to the team afterwards? Because we're just so blessed to have you.
That's basically the tone.
That's what he wants.
He's like,
and that's what
we won. Celebrate us. We're 17-1 at night.
Tell us how good we are. Answer the question.
I will say really quickly that while it's not as common in the NFL, there are coaches that don't really understand. Like Mike Shanahan once called me into the principal's office at the park. And I sit down waiting for him to come in, like, in a very dramatic way. Yep. They, like, bring me in, and they sit me down at his desk, and he's not in there yet. And then
he got summoned, by the way, which is my favorite.
He walks in, and he's like, I need you to help me with something. And he, like, sits down, and he's talking about, I heard you on the radio the other day. He's like, you were talking about the play we were running at practice or something. He's like, I need you to not do that. And I'm like, but you did it in public. Like, there were fans there, Mike. And he's like, yeah, but don't you want us to win football games? And I'm like, sure, that'd be great. He's like, but he thought, like, we're all in this together, which is funny because you're not helping me very much. You're not giving me – if we're all in this together, let me know who you're going to start on Sunday. That didn't go both ways, by the way.
Yeah, well, if we're in this together, where's that paycheck?
Right, exactly.
Where's that one? You know what I mean? That's the other thing.
You want
me in with you, by all means.
I'll say whatever you want.
Put a comma and some zeros in there.
Let's just talk. Help my kids get to college.
I'll be on your team,
and
sure.
And I will absolutely sing your praise.
You know what they were not doing was running this play, I'll tell you that.
Right.
Right?
that's funny. So let's stay in college for a second.
All right.
Another of the silly geese at the collegiate level, occasionally at the podium, Dabo Swinney of Clemson. Dabo wants to remind everyone, even though it has been just a debacle for Clemson to this point, how much he's won. He's DJ Khaled, apparently.
Yes.
All he does is win. So Clemson is 1-2. Their season is effectively cooked in terms of the national championship picture right now. They were expected coming in to be a top-five team. We had college guests on.
They started fourth in the country.
Like, look out for them. They'll win the national title. And they're 1-2. This was Dabo this week.
If they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on the way because that's all we've done is win. So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years. Is that not good? I'm just asking, is that good? I don't know if that's good or not. To win your league 8 out of 10 years, to go to the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, to be in 4 national championships, win it twice. Yeah, we're a little down right now. Take your shots, but I got a long memory in case y'all don't know. We'll be all right. We'll bounce back. This is a program built to last, always has been, always will be. And I would just say if you give up on us, if you don't believe on us because we've lost two games down to the last straight and we're one, you didn't believe in us anyway, so it don't matter. You weren't all in anyway. If you're all in, you burn the ships, man. There ain't no exit strategy. Like, you're freaking all in. And hey, listen, I mean, if Clemson's tired of winning, they send me on my way, but I'm going to go somewhere else and coach. I ain't going to the beach. Hell, I'm 55. I got a long way to go. Y'all going to have to deal with me for a while.
There's a lot there.
I love it.
So
I love
again,
just cutting a promo.
Just like with Brian Kelly, there's actually some truth to what he's saying, I think. Like, they win a lot. Expectations have gotten really high. He turned Clemson into this thing where it's national championship or bust. But where you lose me is like the veiled threats, you know, where you're like, where you're talking to. And also you talk to everyone. This is exactly what we just talked about. He's talking to media members and he's like, you're not with us. If you're not with us right now at our low point, you can't be with. No one's with you unless they work for Clemson.com. Mm-hmm. You know, they write for newspapers, man. Like, he doesn't understand that part. And I get in college, the lines are blurred a little bit. Because you do have a lot of reporters that are in there in like their Clemson hat that have covered the team for 37 mm-hmm. years or whatever.
Yeah, but none of those guys are rubbing that rock pregame. You know what I mean?
Tired of winning. He acted like also, if Clemson's tired of winning, like when he leaves, there's no way anyone else could ever win there. If you want to keep winning, you keep me. But if you're tired of winning, kick me out. I'll go win somewhere else. And you can say goodbye to all your winning. You don't think anyone else?
There's no chance of winning.
Maybe. All right, let's go to the NFL. John Parker Romo. You ever heard of this guy?
No, who's that?
This is the new kicker of the Atlanta Falcons who replaced Young Wei
Koo. Oh, got rid of my guy, Young Wei.
Hit a game-winning kick on Sunday Night Football this past week. He had not met any of his teammates. Mm. They brought him in during the day. He didn't know who anyone was, so he's doing this post-game interview with NBC, and Melissa Stark's like, she shouldn't have put him on the spot, but it was kind of hilarious, so good for her. And she's like, do you even know these guys? He's like, yeah, I know Bijan Robinson. Yeah, because you had him on fantasy, bro.
Right.
You know him because you watched.
I had the second pick.
You know him because you watched the NFL on Sunday. She's like, she literally go like, who's that guy? He's like, I don't really know. She's like, oh, that's the guy. That's your defensive end, man. They're meeting on television.
And I know you're learning your teammates' names. You know their names, right?
I know Bijan.
This is Leonard Floyd over here. You guys want it? Nice to meet you. Back to you guys.
They shake hands on national television. Dude just won him a football game.
I love that, actually.
That's the amazing thing about the kicking position. So many jobs on the line. Every one of these games control the emotions of a town for a week. The entire building is resting on this leg of this dude who one day ago was not a part of this. You know, we talk about us and we and brotherhood and this and that. Like, if Matt Gay pulls a hammy at practice today, there's some dude flying in from some other place that might decide on Sunday if the other 89 people in the building that are doing the football stuff get to be happy or not for 7 days. I mean, it is wild when you think about that position.
Yeah, it is. And it's the, you know, I always say it's there are 52 guys, or maybe 51 when you start counting the punters, who are these world beyond world class, the 1/1,000,000th of 1% elite, 99.9% barred, like biggest, fastest, strongest, most, you know, toughest human beings that have ever lived on this planet. And then there's this one guy that like looks like the ball boy who trots out there with like an old school face bar on his mask, and he's like, okay, it comes down to you. You know, the guy that can't run the 4-4, the guy that can't throw it 50 yards or can't make a tackle, that guy who strains things just by like being around. Okay, win it for us or lose it for us. Unreal.
Kickers are people too. Mm-hmm. ESPN pregame, Adam Schefter says Shedeur Sanders told the Ravens not to draft him in the 5th round. The Ravens, mind you, you've been sitting around for 5 rounds. They're about to take him, and he goes, no, please don't. He doesn't want to sit behind Lamar Jackson. He's a starter, you see. Round 5, he's telling teams not to take him because he didn't like the situation. He'd have to sit behind a starter. This was Schefter with that report.
The Baltimore Ravens, were planning to select Shedeur Sanders in the 5th round with the 141st overall selection. But when he found out, he got word back to the Ravens that he preferred not to go to a place where he would be competing and backing up Lamar Jackson. He wanted to be in a place that he could play. And so when the Ravens got that message, they pivoted, went a different direction with the 141st overall selection. And 3 picks later, the Cleveland Browns selected Shedeur Sanders, who will be in Baltimore today.
So that was a big storyline because those teams were playing this past weekend. Alex Smith of ESPN's Monday Night Football, a countdown crew and pregame show, could not believe what he heard. This is a former 1-1, you know, number one overall pick, played in the league, championship-level player who had some great seasons. Alex Smith was like, you got to be kidding me. Listen to this.
I think this is insane, right? Like, if this is true, I think this is crazy, right? At this point, you're in the 5th round. I understand you had higher hopes, but you've dropped to the 5th round, and you're thinking about being a starting quarterback the next year. I think this is incredibly short-sighted. Like, if you're in this situation, you want to go to an organization that is going to develop you, right? Here you have the Baltimore Ravens, the model of stability in the NFL. This regime's been together for how many decades now? Mm-hmm. And actually has a track record to develop quarterbacks. Joe Flacco, Lamar, right? Instead, you choose the Cleveland Browns because you think you have a chance to start the next year. And mind you, the Cleveland Browns, who are on the opposite end of the spectrum when it comes to stability, right? This is the same organization that walked away from Baker Mayfield as the number one pick in the draft. What's he gone on to do? Oh, he's only led the NFL in touchdown passes since joining the Bucs, right? How many starting quarterbacks? There's been 700 starting quarterbacks in the last 20 years for the Cleveland Browns. Like, this makes zero sense. You want to go to a good organization where you can develop.
I'll jump in here. Alex Smith just spitting fire.
Yeah.
And by the way, verbal retweet, every word that he said. And you wonder about the judgment that some teams didn't love.
Well, okay.
Has any quarterback ever in the 5th round been like, nah, I'm a starter. I can't go there. You got an MVP.
Well, but even beyond that, I mean, at this point in the 5th round, it's what is that expression about beggars and choosers? Something comes up. But the second point, though, is you're very aware that Cleveland already took someone 2 rounds before. Where's that text? Where's that phone call to be like, there's another person you took two rounds ahead of me. There's right. 17 other players that are already there that I'll rather just do that. Maybe you think, you know, you're better than that guy. You go beat him out. But at this point, you're going, there's a disconnect there, I think, is the word that comes to mind.
All right, last one in the audio vault, all football today on a Football Friday. So Brent Pry obviously fired Virginia Tech.
Yep.
They were not the only team to fire a coach. UCLA this week fired Deshaun Foster. Well, it reminded me of Deshaun Foster's introductory press conference. This might be the first time this has ever happened. Twice we'll play this on the audio vault, because when it originally happened, it was one of the most amazing things I'd ever heard. You probably won't remember this. But in his introductory presser, he had one of the strangest opening commentaries in history, and it's yep. like, wait, how did we get to a point where it was so bad that they fired him a couple games into this season? Well, this was the first time he ever stepped up to the mic in front of the media.
You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A. It's us and USC.
Welcome aboard.
Here's some information.
Let's go win football games.
We're located in Los Angeles, California. There's another school that's also in Los Angeles, California. University of Southern California.
Narrator voice. It did not work out. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Let's get you ready for the weekend next. No Jaden Daniels for the Commanders. Marcus Mariota getting the nod for Washington. How will the offensive plan change? That's next on G&D.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Report, but give updates when I can. Jaden was limited today on the field. We decided to start Marcus and said at the beginning we were going to be very diligent on his return to play and make sure we didn't miss any steps. So we're going to be smart, not just fast. And player wants to do everything all the time. That's who he is as a competitor, which I love. But that's how we'll roll.
Thanks to Kevin for the update. That's Dan Quinn making the announcement today of a change for Washington at quarterback based on Jaden Daniels' health unavailable. Marcus Mariota going to get the nod, the backup elevated because Daniels' knee not allowing him to take the field. That's not the only change to the lineup, though.
No, sir.
There is an offensive line tweak coming via Fox Sports and Jordan Schultz. The Commanders will be starting Andrew Wiley at right guard. Nick Allegretti, who's been the starter at guard over the last couple of weeks, will be sat, according to the report. So what's funny is, here we were talking throughout the week about, might Andrew Wiley play? Jay Gruden said he would start him this week. But we were talking about right tackle. We were talking about the fact that Josh Connerly, the rookie, who eventually is going to be a really, really good player, as a first-round pick, has struggled with Brian Burns week one and Micah Parsons substantially in week two. And now you got to deal with Max Crosby. And so the logic there is, okay, now, third straight matchup, brutal opposition in terms of playing one of the better edges in the league. Let's help him out. Let's get him off his feet. Let's just let him watch for a week and get him a respite. Well, they're going to play Wiley. It's just at right guard. Yeah. So maybe they think that will help Connerly if they get some elevation from play next to him, especially without John Bates likely this weekend. You need everything around Connerly to help insulate him a little more.
Yeah, I don't know what I don't know here. So, in other words, what I mean is, what's the plan to, you know, does Ben Sinnott line up a lot next to Josh Connerly? Is it Trent Scott? Is it somebody else? Are they going to use potentially Alec Reddy in that role as an extra tackle or something? You wouldn't think so. But the point is, I thought there might be a switch there or something else done to sort of reassure that position or shore up that position, maybe is the better term. But yeah, so to me, when the preseason started and we were sort of looking at lineups and prognosticating the 53 and so on, in terms of who I thought would be the starter, I actually thought it was going to be Wiley that would be the natural starter at right guard because he's done that at a much higher level. And
you know, for a Chiefs team that won a Super Bowl.
For a Chiefs team that won a Super Bowl. And I thought he would be the dude, but and it was, no, it's Alec Reddy. Alec Reddy's got it. Moved from left guard to right guard. Where I'm kind of going, okay, wasn't that awesome at left guard, but I guess right's better? TBD, we'll see. So this is something I thought would already have happened before now, but, you know, again, they have their offseason, they have their preseason, they have all their times to do some eval. So I wonder what the thought process is here in terms of strengths, weaknesses, maybe matchup-related, maybe it's just this was a matter of time. Who knows?
So I thought maybe when I first saw that this was in the works, possibly Brandon Coleman wasn't going to go at left guard because he's missed practice time this week. Mm-hmm. He's got a shoulder injury, I think it is, and maybe they were going to kick Allegretti over to his traditional left guard spot, and then Wiley replaces him at right guard, and that's actually why he's getting into the lineup. But it doesn't sound like that's the case. It sounds like Coleman's in line, presumably, to play, and that this is just a swap, you know, that you're kind of benching right. Allegretti for Wiley. Why then wouldn't Wiley have started the season? It's a really good question. I don't have a good answer. My guess is, if you remember, the swing tackle they brought in, George Fant, got here days before cutdown. Maybe they wanted to get him up to speed with the playbook. Maybe they wanted to make sure, they're super sure, that he could play both sides and do all the things they needed in this offense. And it took a week or two, and now they feel like, okay, we're good.
Yep.
Whereas otherwise, Wiley's a backup, not playing, and he could have gone in the game, depending on where the injury was. Allegretti has center flexibility, so he's a backup now at both guards and center. Wiley starting means you lose that, but you've still got Fant and Trent Scott. And I personally think they're going to maybe have to go bigger up front this week without Bates. So, like, you do a lot of three-tackle formations where the third tackle is your tight end, but it's really just an offensive lineman. And then it's one less route being run, a lot more run-heavy look stuff. But I think that could be a possibility as well. But if you were one of the people we heard from this week, and there were many of them, that were frustrated with how the line played against the Packers and how many shots Jaden Daniels took, you got a change. I don't know that it was the one that people predicted, but you got one here. On the season, if you're curious, according to PFF, Josh Connerly has allowed a team-high 11 pressures through two games, 9 of those in week 2. Nick Allegretti and Brandon Coleman have both allowed 6 pressures, and Laremy Tunsil and Tyler Biadasz have allowed 4 pressures to this point. So that's kind of the breakdown of the starting offensive line. In terms of hits on Jaden Daniels, clean collisions of the quarterback in the pocket, PFF has assigned 4 of Washington's 5 linemen other than Biadasz with 1 kind of clean hit that they've allowed. That's non-sacks. The sack count is 4 against Connerly, which may be unfair because I think Daniels held the ball on at least one of those. And then sacks have been assigned to Tunsil and Allegretti as well.
The line, I think, ultimately will be a strength. But this is something that we talked about in the preseason. When? That I don't know the answer to, right? On paper, you go, I spent a first rounder. I sent away a bunch of draft picks for a new left tackle. I kicked a guy that was pretty good at left tackle into left guard, and my center returning is pretty solid. You should be a really good offensive line. It has not happened yet. I think it will, and the when question, you know, obviously is what is kind of the, you know, the million-dollar one. I really, it hinges to me on Connerly is when he gets up to speed and when you kind of go, okay, I don't have to worry about it anymore. Like, regardless of who's on the schedule, you go, yeah, it's a tough matchup. Well, it's tough for anybody. When you feel comfortable with the rookie over there at right tackle, we don't have to go, because you and I are sitting here going, okay, is it Trent Scott out there? Are they lining the two tight ends up? Do they get a fullback off waivers and put him there? Like, what are they going to do? When that's not the case, I think that's when this offensive line might be a plus, not just something that's in progress.
Well, I also wonder, so the fear all week has been Connerly against Crosby. And they'll have some kind of plan to help him, I would guess. You have to do a better job insulating him than you did against the Packers. I thought, and that means play calling. That means being ahead of the
sticks.
That's
all of it, yeah.
That's just like the offensive operation has to help him in a way that it didn't in week two, clearly. If they can get back to that, he's going to look a lot better, obviously. But what if he comes out and actually just responds and kind of looks like the first-round pick and that they're right for betting on him and basically handles his business against Crosby? And Crosby doesn't have a game where he takes over or anything. I think we have a very different conversation about him going forward, and
That's right.
Almost like you could put one of the concerns or fears to bed. You can forget about one of the things ailing this team right now. It just takes one game like that against a player like Crosby early in your career.
Totally. And it's, you know, it's both a performance technique, ability stuff, but it's also a confidence builder, right? You do it against Max Crosby, that's, you know, in the elite group of two or three or four, you know, five most disruptive players, best pass rushers we got in this game. So now you feel good. You go, okay, bring on the next challenger, right? There's nobody that I can't block at this stage. So you hope that certainly happens at some point. And you feel for the guy. I mean, you think back to a slightly different example because he was a third rounder. But remember Morgan Moses. When we first saw him, everyone was going, nope, can't do it. That guy cannot play right tackle in this league. You can't have him out there. That's a mistake. And slowly but surely, he sort of grew into the role, got his feet underneath him, got in the, you know, in their lifting program, strength program, development, et cetera. And it was an hour into their first practice when their new right tackle, Brandon Scherff, was kicked into guard because twofold. One, he wasn't a tackle. And the other was that Morgan Moses looked plenty good enough. And now you have a pretty good that side of the line when you didn't know that. That was one of those variables. So that's a third rounder, slightly different. But you get my point. Sometimes we're so used to these guys growing up in these pass-happy systems that we just assume you walk on campus from the first minute as a pro, and you're going to be that Pro Bowl left tackle, you're Jonathan Ogden, and that's not always realistic.
Speaking of things that we are used to, and it leads to us assuming things, the other thing worth noting here is Crosby's been very quiet through two games. He does have a sack, but PFF has assigned him basically five times where he's gotten close enough to the quarterback to be called a pressure on like 82 pass rushes to this point, which is nothing like the level he starts at almost every single season and plays at over the duration of these years. So I look at that and I go, he's got two tackles in two games. Not that that's what he get paid to do. But it's been a very, very slow start by his standards. Now, do I think he's going to end up with 16 sacks and be a Pro Bowler and be in the running for the Defensive Player of the Year award? I do, because I think he's that kind of guy. He's only 28 years old, prime of his career, healthy. No reason to assume a drop-off. And maybe, as I'm saying this, the fear is, well, sounds like he's due.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But I'd like to catch him now at the beginning of the year before he gets going rather than the last two games he's got 15 pressures and 3.5 sacks or something and he's coming in on a complete heater. You know, find a way, watch the tape, see what other teams have done, and keep him down as best as possible. Grant and Danny live from Reston. We're at the Craft House today. We are at Reston Town Center. As you get out of the office and get back out here west in Virginia from D.C. and the DMV, come on by and say hello. We're going to be here until 6:30 on this Football Friday. Remember, 20 minutes from right now, another pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler, who's coming to the district next weekend. We've got those tickets at 4, 5, and 6 for the remainder of the program today on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
A Beltway Blitz will come your way in 15 minutes. Teams in town you care the most about. We will get the latest on the Virginia Tech Hokies, who will be debuting a interim head coach this weekend. Bill Roth joins us on the Blitz in 15. We'll also talk Nats and Commanders with Bobby Blanco and Ben Standing. At that time, all jammed into one segment. The show is brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. And today, we're out and about on the road on a Friday field trip, Craft House Reston. We are at the Reston Town Center. So as you get out of the office, come on by. Easy parking garage right next to us. A great opportunity to get ready for the Commanders and the Raiders and look ahead to a possible 2-1 start if Marcus Mariota, playing for Jaden Daniels, can deliver the goods.
So I've been thinking about this, Grant, and I think I feel pretty strongly about this. I think 2-1 is better than 1-2. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you thought about that? Like, wouldn't you rather be 2-1 than 1-2?
Anybody got a calculator?
Think about it. Like, for a second. Okay, imagine. Okay, ready? Just, I'll give you two columns. The team that you care about, they're 1-2. You'll be okay, right? That's fine. That's not great, but it's not the worst thing in the world. Or 2-1. Which one are you picking?
I think I'm going to want the 2 wins.
2-1.
Yeah.
See? Doesn't that feel nicer?
We got Adam Sandler tickets we're giving away at the top of every hour. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock today. You can win those tickets right here on Grant and Danny. Looking at the NFL slate for this weekend. So it kicked off last night. Thursday night football, the Bills beat the Dolphins. They did not cover. It ended up being a lot tighter than people thought. That was an 11.5-point spread. Finished 31-21, but it really wasn't that close. In fact, Miami was getting the ball back in a 21-all game with a chance to take the lead when they roughed the punter. One of their captains, one of their better players, one of their top D linemen, Sealer, kind of lands under the punter, can't come down. Punter does a great job making sure everybody knows he couldn't land on the ground, and he got tripped up. Bills get the ball back on an auto first down and finish a drive to go score. 9 plays, 65 yards. They take a 28-21 lead. Tua Tagovailoa throws a bad pick, and the Bills get a field goal and win 31-21. By the way, it's not all Tua's fault. Quarterbacks almost always get too much of the blame when things are going badly and too much of the credit when things are going well. But it is hard to watch the Dolphins and how limited he is, how everything's got to go just so, and not be amazed by his cap numbers. I mean, this year he's $39 million against the cap, which is perfectly fine. But the next 3 years after this, he's owed $56, $53, and $66 million of cap space. Tua Tagovailoa, you bet on the wrong QB, it goes in the wrong direction, and it's happening right now in Miami.
Indeed. I mean, there's still some moments where you go, man, that was pretty good, right?
He's super accurate. He can make every throw.
He's accurate, and he scooted around once on a really nice scramble, I remember, going, I always forget, he's a little bit quicker, a little bit faster than I think. But, yeah, it's still, as you said, it's got to be 72 and sunny. There can't be a breeze. The sun has to be in the right place. You know, like, it's just too much of a high wire act, and everything's got to be so perfect for him to be effective. It's just not enough plays on his own being made, it feels like.
Here's three games you should watch this weekend in the NFL. Rams, Eagles, both 2-0. This game will be in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. If the Rams can knock off the Eagles, the conversation's going to swing toward them being a legitimate contender in the NFC. Remember, they took the Eagles to the brink in the playoffs last year. If Philly beats the Rams, meanwhile, now we're talking about an Eagles team that survived a scare from the Cowboys. Opening night where anything can happen, right? Then you beat the Chiefs on the road, quality win. Now you've handled the Rams, albeit cross-country, 1 o'clock start, a quality win as well. Like, from a college resume standpoint, nobody's is going to be better than Philadelphia's at 3-0, even though there's no style points. I don't know if Mike, the call last night and Al Michaels was suggesting, like everyone said, that the Eagles are not fun to watch. That was what was taken out of a comment he made where he said, basically, the Bills are both good and fun to watch, not all good teams are. And a lot of people took that as shade against the Eagles for the tush push and the fact that it's kind of gross to watch 100 passing yards from Jalen Hurts and not involving A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith much. All they do is win, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and this goes back the entire Nick Sirianni run. They don't really care how ugly it is, and trust me, it's ugly.
Well, I think you look over, I can't remember if it's the last 17 games, 18 games, but I saw a graphic earlier where their one loss was to Washington in the final seconds when Jalen Hurts was injured and Kenny Pickett still had them score 33
points. Is that their only loss in that stretch?
Yeah.
I guess that's true because basically the second half of last year, they did this thing that they're doing right now.
That's right.
Wow. And yeah, and if, I mean, let's face it, they were up 14-0, I think, when Hurts got hurt in that game. So the reason the Commanders beat them at home last year was because Jalen Hurts said, I can't do this right now, or they pulled him into the blue tent and told him he couldn't do it, and Kenny Pickett finished
the game. Yeah, and even with that, by the way, Devontae Smith, who is really good and sure-handed, dropped a slant where there was no one within 10 yards of him, which would have been a first down. They would have gone on to win the game. He didn't. Again, we saw the magic where Jaden Daniels hit Jamison Crowder, of all people, in the back of the end zone for a game-winning tutty with moments left in the game, but it was delightful.
Second game you should watch this weekend outside of the Commanders and the Raiders also involves the AFC West. Broncos, Chargers, L.A. trying to get to 3-0. Justin Herbert, I know it's early. I know you're not going to like what I'm about to say out there. Playing at an MVP level.
Here we go.
He looks like the real deal. Only guy playing at a higher level than him maybe early this season is Josh Allen, because he's got three games on the resume, having already gotten back in the clubhouse after his third round. But the Broncos are 1-1, need a win badly or you fall 2.5 games behind the Chargers in the division.
All of a sudden, see, I've always been a Herbert admirer. And what I had to make a bunch of excuses as to why they couldn't get over the hump, or they would always charger, or they'd find a way to lose, or, you know, whether it was injured receivers or coaching staff that didn't really seem up to snuff, et cetera. Then when he gets Jim Harbaugh, they convert him into a caretaker, right, to hand it off to J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, et cetera. I didn't know this would be allowed under Jim Harbaugh to morph his offense into what's happening right now, where they sling it. They got receivers are playing at a level that, you know, I didn't think Keenan Allen was going to be this good, or Quentin Johnson, who people kind of left for dead. You knew about Ladd McConkey working underneath, but they're a prolific offense to go with a really, really good defense. Like, that defense is way better than I thought. They're tough.
Finally, third game you should watch this weekend is your Monday Night Football tilt to end week three. The Detroit Lions in Baltimore to take on the Ravens. In fact, I wonder if anybody's going to go to that just to get a little extra football in. Like, why not, man? That's damn good football under the lights in prime time. Standalone games. You're not missing other NFL games. I'll bet you somebody in the listening audience who's a Commanders fan is doing that with some buddies.
That's a good one to go grab a casual ticket to.
Tailgate in Charm City and check out the Lions and the Bills. 8:15 kickoff on Monday. Baltimore is the number one ranked offense in the NFL right now. 6.5 yards per play. They're number two running the ball. They're number five passing the ball. The question's going to be that defense. They rank 23 right now. 19th against the pass, 15th against the run. They're about to get tested. The Lions scored 50 against the Bears this past weekend.
One of these two teams, both very good in my view, is going to be 1-2. That's, you know, the beauty of some of these early season matchups where both had a hiccup. I mean, you look at Detroit, they
remind
got dominated.
Me again, is you had a point about 1-2 at the beginning of the segment that was pretty transcendent.
You'd rather be 2-1.
Okay.
You'd rather be 2-1. And I stand by that.
Not still?
Not every host will take a stand like that.
All the time you've had to think about that?
Yeah, great. Listen, a lot of radio hosts, a lot of comedians, a lot of people, like, you're supposed to be able to tell truth to power. It's one of those things where I go, you know what? I'm going to take a stand on this. And if you don't like it, that's fine. I respect your opinion not to like it, but 2-1 is better than 1-2.
What'd you say about comedians and truth to power?
Nothing.
Okay.
2-1 is better than 1-2, man. That's all I say.
Beltway Blitz is next on Grant and Danny. Adam Sandler tickets. We're giving them away all show long. We got another pair. Top of the hour as soon as we return ahead of the Blitz right at 4 o'clock on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.